Call to order. President Gunbar.
First legislator.
Leave me alone. Everybody's not here except Kawasaki's here. Tuck, Wilson, and Olson are not here. Everybody else is. We're going backwards. We're going to take up our SB 301, the act relating to power project funds. Sarah has assured me that she can be very, very quick, and then we will see. Just for the committee's edification before we get started, it is the intention to go until 3 or until these bills are done. Then we will recess to a call of the chair. We will come back at 4 o'clock, at which time we will have the Attorney General here, and we will go into executive session to talk about the decoupling with the Attorney General in executive session on Senate Bill 305 on the confidentiality stuff on that. Then we will go to the floor, and then we will come back after the floor, depending on the timing. If it's too late, we'll come back at 9 o'clock in the morning if we can get it done tonight to continue taking up the infamous decoupling bill. So that's kind of, for the record, what our intentions are. We are in the last days of session, so sometimes our intentions can't be
unintentional.
Well, they can't be intended. So with that, introduce yourself, present your bill, and let's see what happens.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Sarah Fisher-Goad. I'm Deputy Director of Operations for the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority and the Alaska Energy Authority. Thank you to House Resources for hearing Senate Bill 301. Senate Bill 301, it does relate to the Power Project Fund, which is an AEA-owned fund. This bill allows AEA to sell the loan portfolio to ADA. This will provide cash to the Power Project Fund for upcoming projects, and we've seen a lot more demand in this fund for renewable energy projects in particular. So SB 301 authorizes AEA to sell the Power Project Fund and ADA to purchase it. It would recapitalize the Power Project Fund with approximately $20.6 million. 301 also authorizes AEA to establish a fees for the program. Right now, we do not charge a application fee, nor do we charge an origination fee. Our other loan fund, the Bulk Fuel Revolving Loan Fund, we do have an origination fee and an application fee, and we propose to do something similar for PPF loans. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that's the bill. It does those two things in particular. I'm here to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Any questions for the sponsor? Before you do that, why do we need to do this? The big picture, what's the...
Mr. Chairman,
I know it's part of the package that's going forward. Can you kind of explain how this fits in, what the purpose and what we're trying to accomplish
the
here?
The primary purpose is to actually provide new cash for new projects. The loan fund is approximately $35 million worth of loans or assets. And right now, that asset mix is not a lot of cash. So this would be a way to raise cash for new projects.
Okay. Any questions? Representative Newman and then Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sarah, so we're several questions. In Section 2, where it allows reenacts the Energy Authority to adopt regulations relating to the loan program. Do you anticipate significant changes or any changes in those regulations as we repeal and then react? Are they coming into different regulations?
Co-Chairman Newman, that section is repealed and reenacted to provide us the ability to charge fees. That's the only change that is made in that section.
Representative Newman?
And charge fees for, what are the fees targeted towards?
The application fee, right now AEA is not able to charge an application fee for anybody requesting a PPF loan. So this would allow us to charge an application fee and an origination fee, which is what we do for the Bulk Fuel Revolving Loan Fund. We will have to go through a regulation process to adopt a fee schedule, and that, of course, would be a public process.
Representative Newman, follow up.
Yeah, thank you. And that's good. You know, kind of just covers your costs, expenditures. That's a good thing. I like that.
Yes, sir.
You said you have new cash for new projects for primarily renewable energy projects. And I believe there's $125 million's been appropriated out of up to, I think the legislature allows up to over $500 million, I think, that we had for renewable energy. And those loan programs or grant programs come through pledge budget and audit, you know, for referral. And the last bunch that came through, there was 77 programs around the state, I believe, that were approved for $100 million worth of programs, and so that the legislature had a certain amount of oversight on where the people's money is going into what programs. So now we're creating the ability for the department, AEA, to go out and approve grants or loans on their own on this, or how does that work?
Through the chair, Co-Chairman Newman, the Renewable Energy Fund is a new program, and that's a grant recommendation program. The program is set up to go through five rounds of project evaluation and funding. Round one was the $100 million that AEA received in FY 2009. That round one was the only round that went through an LBNA approval process. Last year, the legislature appropriated $25 million and directed us to use our list that we establish of projects to fund $25 million worth of projects. And this year, before the legislature, is another request for the round three projects to be funded. And in the capital budget that's still, I believe, under consideration in the Senate, there is a request or the funding level is for $50 million for that project. So that's the Renewable Energy Fund. One of the Renewable Energy Fund requirements or evaluation criteria is matching funds. The Power Project Fund, which has been in existence for a long time, has been a funding source that is being used for the match requirement for a lot of local entities applying for Renewable Energy Fund. It is a funding source, but the Power Project Fund exists independently on its own. It has a separate evaluation process. So we're not creating anything new. We're not creating a new program. We're just providing funds to continue to provide loans for power projects.
And just one
follow-up, Representative Newman.
One more question just on that one, and then we'll let. And so the sale of those power project loans that will be deposited into the Power Project Fund, where did the money for those power project loans, was that started out of a legislative appropriation on that? Or and so I guess what you're doing is you have, my question, was it something that the legislature created or put money into or allowed to these loans to be developed out of a fund, and you're selling those loans? I don't know how you sell a loan. But then that money is going into the Power Project Fund, but I'm assuming it all originated from the legislature to start with.
Through the chair, Representative Newman, yes, the Power Project Fund has existed for a long time. I apologize, I don't know the origination of that, but it would have had to have some type of legislative action, I believe probably in the 80s at some point, to provide funds for the program. Since I've been with AEA since about 10 years ago, we haven't had a new injection of cash into the Power Project Fund, except for some specific projects through a match requirement that was through the Energy Cost Reduction Program that was a Denali Commission-funded program.
Thank you, sir. Representative
Steedman? Thank you.
Before you get started, I'd like to recognize Representative Olson and Wilson, who joined us. Thank you. Sorry, Representative Steedman.
Thank you. And just for the record, we're talking about transfer actual securities, not a securitized package. Is what's going to you're going to be actually transferring the loans?
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, the process, the mechanics of this would be that ADA would purchase this as an investment. So what ADA receives are the loans and the cash flow that goes with those loans. What AEA receives is the cash that is the value of those loans. So they receive the cash to be injected into the fund. ADA what Ada receives is the investment and the cash flow of those loan payments from now until, I believe there's one loan that's about, has a maturity schedule out 20 years.
Representative Seaton?
And follow up, yeah, I just wanted to make it clear on the record that we're actually transferring, we're purchasing the entire loan. We're not creating a securitized loan package, doing credit default swaps, or none of that is authorized under this legislation. It's the individual loans, including the payment, the forward-going payments and all, are being purchased by the entity.
Through the chair, Representative Seaton, I can guarantee you there's nothing fancy about anything going on here. This is strictly a cash for future cash flow transaction.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Sir, my question is, I see some zero interest loans.
Yes, sir.
What kind of value do those have? That's just a cash exchange. There's no real solid investment in buying a zero interest loan.
Mr. Chairman, what we have done is, for Ada's purchase price, is we have a discount rate that's applied to that cash flow. So the cash flow is the 30 years, for example, of the principal and interest payments. That is discounted back to, we used a 6.02 interest rate discount. So for Ada, Ada is paying approximately $20.6 million for future cash flow of approximately $24 million or $26
million. 24.7, is that the number?
Correct. That's okay. The principal amount that's we're discussing here.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're not just paper sending a debt over with no potential for, there is a discount involved. Okay.
Yes.
Additional questions? Hearing and seeing none. We will go to public testimony. Is there anyone online to testify for SB 301? There is no one online. Is there anyone in the room who'd like to testify on Senate Bill 301? I don't see anyone signed up, and no one's jumping up to run to the podium. With that, we will close public testimony. We are at committee discussion. Any committee discussion? Sir, before we move on, this is part of a package that has been advanced. And can you explain to the committee? We didn't see any of it. I think there's a group of bills in finance that they're waiting on. Can you explain the big picture of what we're, the puzzle piece that we're putting in place here?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There are three bills that, of governor bills that were introduced at about the same time. The Senate Bill 300 or House Bill 410, there isn't much of a connection for this bill to this one. However, this bill and the microloan bill, which is House Bill 412 and Senate Bill 302, there was an adjustment in the fiscal notes that if this bill passes, the fiscal note for House Bill 412 will receive capitalization from that was originally proposed in the governor's budget for the power project fund. So it was a situation where the $7 million that the governor requested in its budget would be reduced by the $3.5 million to then pay for the fiscal note on the microloan program. So that's somewhat of the connection.
Thank you. So we are sending a bill to the Finance Committee which saves the state $3 million. We should feel good about it. It's a first. Any other committee discussion? Hearing and seeing none, what would be the will of the committee? You want to hang on to this? You want to send it on?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I would like to move Senate Bill number 301, version /A-alpha, from committee with any attached recommendations or attached fiscal notes.
Are there objections or discussion? Hearing and seeing none, the bill moves out of this committee onto its merry way to finance.
And thanks. The muskox carry on.
And the muskox will carry on. Thank you. With that, I feel like we should just take some time and talk about something. Say that again. Hang on.
Memorandum of understanding.
With the
NEAs.
Let's take an NEAs.
Sarah?
We have before us now Senate Bill, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 144, Finance, Muskox Permits and Tags. I understand there will be some quivic passed around for us to... No.
Is that what it's called?
I think that's the first. I never pronounce it properly. Kivik? Would you please put yourself on the record?
Muskox.
Yes, sir.
Can't proceed.
For the record, Tim Benintendi, staff to Senator Donald Olson, the sponsor. And Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, at its core, Senate Bill 144 would authorize a second permit hunt for resident and subsistence hunters for the taking of muskox. It would double the chances of taking an animal, but it would not change the bag limit, which currently stands at one animal, either a bull or a cow. Non-resident hunters would not qualify. If a hunter did not harvest a muskox under the first permit, then a second permit could be issued upon application for another chance in a different hunt area or in a different game management unit. Muskoxen are the only game animals in Alaska to which the one permit restriction still applies. There are four game management units in the state where these animals are found. Unit 18 is on both Nunavak and Nelson Islands. Unit 22 and 23 are on the Seward Peninsula and in the northwest. And Unit 26 is in the northeast. The wild muskox population is currently estimated to be at 4,400 animals, and annually between 325 and 350 are available for harvest. Wildlife biologists and regulators within the Department of Fish and Game have determined that the health and size of the state's herd is well past the threshold for expanding hunting opportunities. They estimate that a minimum number of additional permits would be issued under this bill, and perhaps 25 more animals might be harvested annually. Under Senate Bill 144, the Board of Game would have the authority to reduce or eliminate subsistence tag and fee requirements. And because Senate Bill 144 changes a year from a calendar year to a regulatory year, which is July 1st to June 30th, the department would be able to issue permits for seasons which straddle the calendar year and not have to charge a hunter twice and issue two permits for the same season. If passed, this legislation would take effect in August. And bill carries a zero fiscal note, has the support of the department, support the hunting community in the Northwest Alaska, including the Northern and Southern Norton Sound Advisory Committees and the Seward Peninsula Muskox Cooperators Group. With that, I'll see if you have any questions.
Are there any questions for the bill sponsor? Tim, where does this bill go from here?
It goes to finance because it references fee schedules and such.
Yeah, and my question, and I will ask this of finance, how can we issue one permit instead of two by straddling a year and not have an impact?
Currently, Mr. Chairman, there's a season that goes from August to March. And right now, the hunter would have to apply and get one permit. And then and assuming he doesn't get an animal by January 1st, I guess, he'd have to apply for the permit again, pay again. This would change the year basis upon which that structure is based.
And that's my point about how it cannot have some physical or some impact if you're issuing one permit instead of two. So somewhere in there's some, hopefully everybody gets their muskox.
Chairman, there could be a negligible revenue factor.
But negligible, okay. Just for the record, I don't think it'll be zero, but I don't think it will be mm-hmm. much.
Well, they estimate an extra, they didn't give me a number, Mr. Chairman, on the estimated number of permits they expect, the increased number, but they said it was less than 50. No. And the extra animals they presume will be taken is about 25, two dozen.
Thank you. Representative Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That was a question I went out and I talked to Mr. Bettini, Tim, with earlier on that. And the hunters still have to buy a hunting license each year.
Right.
And so that's all done. It's just, again, when they register these permit tags, if they haven't harvested one, it carries through. And I don't see how it would have any fiscal impact because they still have to purchase a hunting license for that next year to apply that permit that they already paid the permit fees for if there is one required to get. And so I would see that there would be no fiscal impact. Now, the way I looked at it, and we talked about it before. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, and then my question, I think you maybe just answered, but I would like to put it on the record. This doesn't extend the hunting license through the permit period, just the tag.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, that's true.
Okay, thank you.
And if I might add, this doesn't impede any of the authority fishing, I'm sorry, the Board of Game has currently. In fact, it gives them a little more liberty, so.
Representative Seaton?
Thank you. So when a person does a $500 resident tag and pays the fee, is entitled to, there's a bag limit of one, can the person then apply for another permit, pay another $500, and does that effectively, the bag limit for that permit is one, but does that mean we have increased the bag limit in a season to as many multiples of the $500 as you wish to purchase a permit?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seaton, no. You don't pay a second time. You would only have two opportunities, the first permit, and if this bill goes through, then a second permit. And the Board of Game would determine fee structure. I'm not sure what it is right now, but they have the liberty to change that depending on conditions. And I don't know much more about it than that.
Representative Seaton.
Mr. Chairman, I guess what I'm asking is we are eliminating on page 2, line 5, a person is not eligible for more than one muskoxen permit a year. If we eliminate that, does that mean a person can get two or three? I mean, the majority of the cost for a hunter coming from Anchorage and going to Nunavak Island is not in the permit fee, it's in the safari. So the question is, can a person at the same time hold more than one permit and get one animal on the bag limit for that permit if we eliminate lines 5 and 6 here on page 2?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seaton, my understanding is no. One animal per year, period, regardless of how many attempts there are or which game units.
Why don't you look at that for a little bit, Representative Seaton, and I'll, Representative Wilson has a question. I've got the question as well. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tim, for what I read here, and I'm looking at the sectional analysis, that what it actually does is once they get their permit and have used it, went out hunting and didn't get anything, then they have an opportunity, or at least the department is looking at is another 25 animals that they might want to be able to get taken care of, and so they're going to allow so many that didn't get anything the first time around to have another chance at it. Is that what I'm reading into this?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Wilson, yes, one more chance.
Okay.
Representative Seaton, are you, we can go to Representative Newman and come back once you've noodled a little bit.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I mean, I understand the intent. I'm a little troubled when we take out the language that a person is not eligible for more than one muskox permit a year. That is essentially saying that they can have more than one muskoxen permit per year. And if the bag limit is established not per person but per permit, then I'm just wanting to make sure that we, I mean, I don't know. I don't have the rest of the statutes, and that's my
Mr.
question.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Seaton, and I'm sorry, I wish I had a sharper answer, but I think that would still fall to the Board of Game to regulate. So I've never heard any expression of concern for the taking of multiple animals. So while I don't have the precise answer, I feel like the department, you know, suggested this language and is following the intent.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For those of us who spend a little bit of inordinate amount of time scouring over regulations for each game management unit. Game management units are, you know, the state's divided up into game management units, and the regulations for each one of these units can be different. And the board looks at that. They talk to the advisory councils. They establish that. In you know, around the Matsu or some of those areas here, you can get one moose per permit. And those are all set in the game regs. It could change multiple times, but it's done, I believe, probably by the board. And those changes year by year is probably why it's not in statute and why it's allowed through regulation for the board to manage that. And so each game unit is different. If they've got an overabundance and they need to harvest more, they'll probably harvest. They can set those regulations as to what they need. You know, if they will allow multiple permits, you know, that they can do that. It's a moving target, but it's all established and it's done year by year. That's why the years are done by that through the hunting regulations that we all receive, just like the fishing regulations. And each game management is managed differently, and those regulations are set up through there. So it's up to the Board of Game to decide that, how that's done, instead of probably in statute, I believe.
Thank you, Representative Newman. And I don't know, on a personal level, if a person gets more than one, as long as the game is being management property and what excluding someone, then, and I think that is a Board of Game decision. So I don't know. I do see your point. I do think we're doing exactly what you're concerned about here. But Representative Seaton?
And that's why I'm raising the question, Mr. Chairman, because, of course, it was in statute because people wanted to make sure that it wasn't a multiple safari hunt or multiple game animals, and I don't have any problems if that's there. I'm not intending to object and hold this bill, but I think that before it goes through finance, I would like to have the sponsor make sure that we're not doing something more than we thought we were doing with this, because I don't think it's anybody's intent to have in statute people fly out and be able to take multiple animals if they simply buy multiple permits. And so that's only the concern I'm raising, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Bentini, would you pass that concern on to the sponsor? And maybe that's the intention, and maybe that's the best way to manage the game. And that's not a call I think we're ready to make in this committee. I think that's a board of game issue, which we're not opposed to dictating to, for sure. Don't get me wrong, but I want to make sure that is the intended consequence. And if there's only three people hunting and they need to get X number of animals for conservation or whatever it is, then that's the policy they have to make. I think Representative Kawasaki.
I just want to know if somebody was online from
I don't have anybody online from the department.
Could just simply answer that question, because yeah, it seems
I was looking around the room and I don't see anybody, so I don't have anybody online.
It seems ambiguous, the last sentence in the second paragraph of the sponsor statement, and then the first sentence of the third paragraph just made me think, and I reading the language, it's unclear to me as to whether Representative Seat is correct in that or not, and if the department were available, maybe they could just answer the question.
And they are not. And what I have asked the sponsor to do, and I have a great confidence in Senator Olson to make sure that if that is the intent, that it's clearly spelled out and that the next committee can deal with that. I certainly, if the committee doesn't want to move this on and accept that from the senator, I certainly would appreciate that. It would be my intention to send this on with that caveat, that be clarified. Certainly I'm not going to insist on anything, Representative Kawasaki, but I think in the waning days of session, this is something the Finance Committee deal with, and Mr. Benintendi will pass it on to Donnie, and I'll talk to him as well.
And Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to copy this committee with. That's a valid question and needs a good answer. So,
thank you, Representative Edgman.
I guess to add to those comments, it seems implicit to me that you know, we're giving the Board of Game another tool. You've got four far-flung game units and animals that probably are growing beyond their threshold. So, in the event that they ever needed to go beyond one animal, that they would have that authority to do so. That's maybe I'm incorrect. But that's the way I'm reading from it, but. Point that Representative Seaton offers is well intended. if that's the case, then that should be part of the record, too.
Yeah, and that's my intention. I think it's a viable option if you need to give somebody two. If there's 100 and you need to take three animals, then that should be an option available to them. But I think it should be something that's discussed. Representative Newman?
Mr. Chair, there's many areas of the state where you take multiple animals. You can take multiple deer, Sitka deer, you know, in Prince William Sound, or caribou in areas of the state. Some areas you can take one caribou, some areas you can take five caribou. You know, you can take up to five a day in some areas. I mean, it depends on the game population, what's available. Black bears is the same way. You can take, you know, multiple animals. Some areas you can't. And it's for the board to decide, and it's very clear in here that talks about the regulations of the board of the game and what the ability to do that. So Tim, maybe if you just had in areas where the muskox or hunted are available by the board, if you just had maybe copies of the current regulations, it would very clearly say in there what the regulations state on it.
Thank you, Representative Kalasak.
I'm sorry, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah.
And that's I think my point about game management should be left up to them and numbers. So, Representative Kalasak.
Sure. Just on the process, and I don't think I'd have a problem moving this bill on if I was assured that it is going to go to finance with a zero fiscal note. You know, there's a lot of bills that have been waived from committees. We've waived several bills from committee. Energy committees waived several bills. So I just wanted to make sure that this will, in fact, go to finance. Otherwise, I'll object to moving it out.
It is scheduled to go to finance because it involves fees, and it is.
Right.
It does have a.
Mr. Chairman,
it does have a.
The sponsor's office is not interested in waiving the bill from finance. We've got time to.
Okay, thank you, and I appreciate that. Thank you, Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and you know, I have full confidence in the Board of Game. The only thing is that, you know, they may not have addressed these things in regulations because we have a statute that says you can't take more than one a year, and so the issue is just being raised so that the Board of Game is going to be on notice that their regulations may not cover this, and it had been precluded in statute for reasons. And so there's no intention to say that the Board of Game isn't doing their job. We're just removing something from statute, so they need to be aware. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any additional questions of the sponsor? Is there anyone, we'll move on to public testimony. Is there anyone online to testify? We have no one online, and I see our trusted staff going to see if anyone signed up. I don't see anyone in the room signed up. With that, we will close public testimony. We'll move on to committee discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, you know, when I talked to the sponsor and the carrier, Mr. Tim, you know, the problem that they had here is the permits go on through the calendar year, and it stops, and when people haven't harvested yet and they have harvestable game, it was just to be able to allow people to use that permit. You know, we're not changing a lot of different things here. I think it's a good situation for these people to do that, and I have full trust in what they do. But I think we tend to go down a lot of areas where what ifs, I think, in the legislature, and I think that they, you know, talking to the to Tim, it was just to allow people, if they didn't fill their permit, because the permits, we have a calendar year situation, and in a season extends longer than that, just to allow people to use that permit through the rest of the season. That's the intent. We do harvest animals, and we allow the board to do that, but I think it's a good thing. And it's a good service for the senator to actually recognize this and to try and do what he can to help it, and to do what Representative Edgman said, is to allow the board to have the tools that they need to do to help manage their resources in a responsible manner. So it's a good piece by the department. Good work by the department. Good work by the sponsor of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Kawasaki.
I just wanted to point out that there's other units that have similar rules and regulations. Central Arctic Herd requires a permit, sort of the same situation, and has a maximum number that people can get. And we're looking at this bill. It's in front of us now, and I think we're doing our due diligence on it.
Yeah, and I think this is, if my guess is correct, and I haven't talked to this bunch, but this is one of those where a constituent came forward with a problem, and the senator responds to a constituent. It's a valid concern, and the senator's done what he was put here to do, is respond to his constituency, and I see that as very positive. Any other questions? Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move CS for Senate Bill 144, Version E, out of committee with the attached fiscal notes and individual recommendations from committee members.
Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, this bill will move on to committee. Thank you, Mr. Benintendi.
Thank you very much.
It is the intention, once again, I want to restate this so that everyone knows, including the clerks and the LIOs, that at 4 o'clock it is our intention to come in, gavel in, go into executive session where we'll hear from the Attorney General on matters involving taxes and issues that, if disclosed, may or may not put the state in some kind of position they don't want to be in. I'm kind of doing that kind of as an official notification so everyone knows what we're doing. I don't, nothing behind closed doors. It's not on the up and up. So so that you guys know, you will have to, you've been in executive session before, both of you, and the TV cameras as well will need to be turned off. We will be discussing some confidential matters. With that, we will stand in recess to a call of the chair. Anticipate 4 o'clock. The Attorney General has some stuff to do, so it could be 5 minutes either side of that, and we will go until floor session if we need to, or until we lose the Attorney General. So with that, thanks everyone for your diligence. Thanks for being here. We will recess to a call of the chair.
We're going to call the House Resources to order. Let the record reflect that the time is 4:22. Today's date is April 12, 2010. Present is Representative Tuck, Kawasaki, Seaton, my friend Peggy Wilson, Bryce Edgman, Olson, Co-Chair Johnson, and myself, Representative Mark Newman, Co-Chair Newman. We are going to start in with a little bit of work on Senate Bill 305. I would like to ask my co-chair to offer an option here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move and ask unanimous consent that House Resources Committee go into executive session under Uniform Rule 22B 1 and 3 for the purpose of discussing matters the immediate knowledge of which would adversely affect the finances of the state government and that may by law be required to be confidential, and the following individuals be directed to remain in the executive session, and that would be staff, Rex Shattuck, and I think everyone else is covered. Do you have any, Mr. Attorney General, do you have anyone else you'd like to stay in the room? Are they covered as far as you're concerned?
Mr. Chairman, yeah, they are. As a matter of fact, it's Tina Kobayashi and John Katchen, and from the Department of Law.
And wait before we get started. And I would ask that also, Mr. Chairman, if I might, you need to shut down, and you need to make sure that all the communications is stopped. We're off the record.